Let's open up our Bibles to the book of James. We're going to continue on with our series today, and we are in a great book that tells us how to live out our faith. All the books of the Bible are great. They tell us how to live out our faith, but James is just jam-packed with good information for us, knowledge for us to then take our faith to that next level. And we have a very famous passage today in the book of James that we're going to be studying. And that passage is James 2, verses 14 through 26. And it is the faith and works passage that everybody quotes and everybody talks about. And we're going to explore that today because I think it's really critical to our lives as believers. And it's something that maybe is so simple that we miss. So we're going to be talking about that today. Let's start off with James chapter 2, verse 14. We begin there. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Simple enough, right? Faith is, of course, trust or belief in God. We all, you know, as members of Kol Mashiach, as part of the body of Messiah here, we have faith. We have faith in God. We have faith in Yeshua the Messiah. That is that trust and that belief and that clinging to God, faith in God. Works are, of course, a little bit different. They are doing things in our walk with God. With our faith in God, it's what we do. Examples of this: helping other people out in any way, serving in our congregation, loving kindness towards others. You know, our message and our theme this year is chesed. In a world that is so divided in so many ways, right? Politically divided, in every other way, it's divided out there. We should be better than that. The scripture says they'll know us by our love, right? And so we need to be people of chesed, of loving kindness. Those are good works that we can do when we go out there and we live our lives amidst a world that does not practice chesed. So we're going to be completely opposite from the world, and it's going to show. Our light is going to shine. Those works are going to be seen. Faith and works accomplishing the will of the Lord in our lives. People typically see James, the book of James, and James himself. People typically see James as the works guy, right? Because he talks about works. People typically see Paul, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, as the faith guy, right? Because of Romans. You've heard of that probably. James is over here as the works guy. Paul is over here as the faith guy, and never the two shall meet, right? That's the typical story that we get. But that's not accurate, and it's way too simplistic, and it is out of context with who James and Paul both were. We're going to see that today. Faith and works are linked. Faith is lived out through works. If we say we have faith, we need to be living it out through works. They have to work together. If we have faith apart from works, or we have works apart from faith, and we can give examples of both of those, right? Both in the body of Messiah and also in the world. If we have faith without works or works without faith, it's incomplete. But even more so, it is not a spiritually, it's not a healthy spiritual walk for any of us. It's imbalanced, unbalanced. Faith and works in combination should reflect a transformation that has gone on in each of us. A transformation from where we were to becoming mature believers in Yeshua. Now, I want to become more and more a mature believer in Yeshua, and I hope all of you do as well. And to do that, we've got to take that faith that we have and bear it out in the works that we do, which is the entire theme of James's book, living out our faith. So let's begin now with James 2:15. We'll read a couple of verses here. James goes on to explain what he says in verse 14. In verse 15, we read this: if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Pretty striking imagery and language that James uses here. He says, well, you're not doing so well if you have faith. And he says, no, your faith is dead if your faith doesn't have works to go along with it. So after James establishes that faith alone in verse 14, apart from works, goes nowhere in our lives, and after he says it's dead in verse 15, he gives us some examples. And the examples that James gives us, interestingly enough, are interpersonal examples, meaning person-to-person examples. These are things that we can really look at and dig into and say, yes, I can see an example of that faith being born out in my works. Sometimes it's kind of nebulous when we think about God and doing things for God, but when you break it down, when you're talking about person to person, it's pretty much an understanding that we all can have because we interact with people every single day. Whether you're sitting at home, interacting on Zoom, whether you're here in person, whatever you're doing, you're interacting with other people. Now, we talk about faith a lot, and rightly so, because faith or trust in God is absolutely key and the beginning of our walk. Absolutely key. We must believe in God. We must put our faith in Yeshua if we're going to be called believers or followers of Yeshua. We must repent of our sins, where we've fallen short with God, where we've broken his law, and we have to put our faith in Yeshua who died for our sins, and that is redemption. Yes, we know that. So faith or belief in God is absolutely key, and we don't want to minimize that. But now turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 36. So I want to illustrate the faith and the works lived out in person-to-person interaction. First of all, we come to Matthew 22, 36, and we'll read the first three verses. And this is someone asking Yeshua a question. They say, "Teacher or Rabbi, what is the great commandment in the law or the Torah?" And Yeshua, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Okay? Just as faith is tied closely with works, we're going to see that loving God, which is what Yeshua just describes for us in these verses, is closely tied with loving others. Just as faith works with works, loving God works with loving other people. Now, we see that because Yeshua talks about loving God. That's the first step. That's the great commandment. But then what does he say right after that? Let's continue reading. Matthew 22, 39 and 40. "And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." Yeshua just didn't stop there and say, you know what, just love God. Love God and you'll be fine. Just have faith in God and do what you need to do and you'll be fine. No, he immediately says, and there's another commandment that is so tied that all of the Torah, all of the prophets hinge on these two commandments, loving God, but also loving others. Now, you and I can say all day that we love God, and many people do. But how do you treat other people? That's where your love for God is really born out, in how you love other people. We could say we have faith all day, but do we put our faith into practice with works towards other people, helping other people, loving other people, a kind word to somebody when they need it, a helping hand? Point number one, faith must be lived out in works in our lives. And the best and most practical way to do that is to see your neighbor and to do something for your neighbor, to love your neighbor, to support your neighbor, to help your neighbor. It can be in small ways and it can be in big ways. Now, at this point, somebody always raises their hand and says, "You know what? I know the Bible, Rabbi, and what about all those scriptures," which is like the Pauline scriptures that people talk about all the time, "that teach us that all you need is faith, you know, faith alone," and the whole Martin Luther thing, faith, 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 which the Protestant Reformation in many ways was a reaction to the Catholic doctrine of works-based, right? You could do works to get into the kingdom of heaven. You could pay the priest. You could pay somebody. All that corruption going on. Of course, the Protestant Reformation was a reaction to that. But when you swing one way to an extreme or the other way to an extreme, it's not healthy. And again, we need faith and works working together. So, yes, there are a lot of scriptures that talk about faith and faith alone. Let's look at one right now. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, these are Rav Shaul scriptures. These are Apostle Paul scriptures. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So if you just read that in the black and white, it seems to appear that all you need is faith. Forget the works. The works are not good. The works are not what save you. Okay? That's true. And if we stop here and if we read the Ephesians passage out of context, we miss it. We miss the whole connection here, the whole point. Remember, people say that James is the works guy, Paul's the faith guy, Ephesians is Paul's letter. But you know what Paul does? After he writes Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, he goes on, and it always is good if we read the whole context and the whole passage. Now let's read Ephesians 2, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we just read verses 8 and 9, it appears that it's just about faith and those works, forget those works. But if we read it in context with verse 10 and really in the whole context of Ephesians 2, we see faith working with works. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is that your works, my works, don't save us. They don't redeem us. Absolutely true. We are justified before God not because of anything we may do, good or bad, because we all fall short. You know, there's many scriptures, I don't have time to go into that, that say no one is good. We all fall short. And even at our best, we can't justify ourselves before God. That's why Yeshua came. That's why we have the grace of God. That's why Yeshua died for our sins. We can't earn our salvation just keeping commandments, doing a lot of good things. Yeshua justifies us. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Again, another Pauline scripture. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Messiah died for no purpose. What that means is, if I could fulfill God's commandments in and of myself by doing good works and be saved, then Messiah died for no purpose. Messiah died because we can't justify ourselves based on our works. It's not what you did. It's not what I did. It's what Yeshua did for us on the cross. But now that you and I, and this is what Paul is talking about here, now that you and I are justified by the grace of God through Yeshua, you and I must do good works as redeemed members of the body of Messiah. That's what Paul is talking about in the passage. He's not saying it's only faith and no works. He's saying is faith is going to redeem you, but then you have to do good works to live out that life of faith. Oh boy, that goes along with the James passage. That goes along with the James book. You mean Paul and James are in sync with each other? Absolutely. They are both listening to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and they're both looking at aspects of it, but faith and works are working together. Now let's continue on with the James, the Yaakov passages. Go back to James 2, verse 18 now. We're going to continue on. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Okay. You know, the whole book of Proverbs is about two characters, right? The wise person and who? The foolish person. I don't know about you, but I want to be the wise person. I don't want to be the foolish person. James is specifically speaking to someone who is acting as the foolish person. We need to take note of this. He uses this imaginary person argument, right? He anticipates people saying things like, I'll take faith, you take works. Yeah, if I got to choose one, I'll take faith. But he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. They're going to be borne out in my actions. And then what he does is he brings up two different things that we just read. And I want to go through both of them. First of all, he brings up the Shema, which is what we read today and chanted today, and what we talk about all the time, our confession of faith. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The Shema encompasses faith and works together for us. It's all there even in the Torah about faith and works working together, interconnected. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That sounds like faith to me, right? The confession of faith, the Shema. Faith in God. and God is one. Yes, yes, yes. But remember, who is James writing to? He's writing to fellow Jewish people. He's writing to Jewish people that knew the scripture, that spoke Hebrew, that understood the context of what the Shema is talking about. Because if we look at the word, just the word Shema, it means hear, right? Hear, O Israel. But it means, like many words in Hebrew, a lot more than just hearing. Shema, translated into English, means to hear, to listen, or to obey. It goes beyond just hearing something. You know, many people can hear the word of God, and it goes in one ear and out the other, right? But when we Shema, when we hear, we listen, we take it in with faith, and we obey it by working it out in our lives. Obedience. When we obey God, we do the things he says to do. We love our neighbor. We love God. We walk out that faith in our lives. It's action. It's works. So we see in the Shema the interconnectedness of the faith and the works. James is referencing that. The people would have gotten that because they knew what the words meant. Also, James brings up the fact that even the demons believe in God. You know, this is the ultimate rebuke. Even the demons believe in God like you say you do. You're no better than the demons. They know God. They know his existence. They believe in God, but they have no works to build it up. They have no redemption, obviously, because they're not living it out with their life. It's going in one ear and out the other, so to speak. Even the devil, even the enemy himself, knows the word of God. Remember when he quoted the word of God to Yeshua? You know, the enemy knows the word of God better than a lot of believers, unfortunately. He quoted Yeshua when he was tempting him. So it's not enough to simply believe or to know or to hear. It's working it out. And when we take scripture out of context, when we follow only the parts of scripture we want to follow, the easy stuff, right? The belief in God. You know, we know a lot of believers probably in our life, in our purview, that are out there that say up and down, I believe in God. I have a relationship with God. I have faith, man. And then they go out there and they live these lives that are like not godly lives. The two don't coincide with each other. There's nothing in their lives that show a change. It's totally unhealthy. It's totally unhealthy for the person, and it's totally unhealthy for all the people that are coming into contact with that person, because they're espousing out of their mouth their belief, but they're doing something different. I want to look at a couple of verses in here. Let's go to Colossians, another Rav Shaul letter. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That says whatever you do. Now, many of us, we're godly when we come to synagogue or when we have an event or a function or when we're talking to other believers. But when we're in our work situation, when we're in the car driving, when we're in the grocery store, when we're all around, sometimes we don't bear that out, right? And nobody's perfect. I'm saying we have times where we get very fleshly sometimes, but we should be striving in whatever we do, wherever we go, whoever we're interacting with, to live this out, as Colossians say, giving thanks to God in word or deed, everything we're doing, representing Yeshua in our lives. Now turn to Matthew 5:16. One of our themes of last year, which was the light. And we talk about light during Hanukkah. This is the festival of lights, the festival of dedication, where we're lighting our Hanukkahs every night. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see how this goes together? Our faith should produce good works as a light to other people. What kind of a light are we showing when we're saying one thing and doing another in our life, where we have all these habits that are not good? Or not only if we don't have works, if we had bad works, bad behavior, as we profess to be followers of Yeshua, people are going to see it. At best, it's going to confuse people, right? At best, it's going to confuse people. At worst, it's going to turn them away from God when they see that we don't line up with our works from what our faith is doing. Point number two, faith without works is a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony for us as believers. It's a bad testimony to God, whose light we're supposed to be shining in everything we do. Are you and I working towards a strong, consistent, healthy testimony about the Lord? I'm not saying you're there yet. I'm not saying I'm there yet. But are we working? Are we trying? Are we getting back up every day and striving to do good works that reflect our faith? Now, let's go back to James again, our passage in James. James 2:21. He continues, and he gives us a couple of biblical examples now, biblical characters. James 2:21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. That's a powerful statement. Verse 22. Faith was completed by his works. Let's continue. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, this is a really important and powerful passage here. James brings in two biblical characters. We just read about the first one. Abraham, the father of our faith. Abraham is, of course, a model of how we should live our lives. Abraham left Ur with his father. He left paganism. He left all that he knew behind. It's very symbolic for us of leaving our old life behind when we cross over and become believers in Yeshua. But Abraham left all that he knew to follow God. He went into the unknown, and that's faith, believing without seeing, going into the unknown with God. But Abraham's faith wasn't just faith without works. Now, in the passage in James, he quotes Genesis 15:6. Let's go there really quickly. And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. We always think of that's just Abraham had faith. He trusted God. But when it says Abraham believed the Lord and he became righteous because of that, when you believe something so strongly, you're going to go out and you're going to exhibit works in your life that show that you believe that thing that's inside your heart. Nobody can see your belief. Nobody can see my belief, but they can see the works that we do. Abraham believed God. He was righteous because of it. Abraham believed God and had faith and worked it out with works. It's, again, going all the way here. Day by day, year by year, following God and trusting God, walking it out. And you know what? He walked it out for over 20 years when he didn't see the fruit of the promise of God. How many of us take maybe a day or two after we prayed to God about something and it doesn't transpire and we're like, oh no, what's going on, God? Where's my faith? Where are you, God? We start questioning everything. Or maybe we do good for a couple of weeks, or maybe we do good for a couple of months, and then we slip back and we say, oh, where are you, God? I can't believe it. You're not here for me. You haven't answered my prayer. Abraham didn't say that. He kept walking and walking and walking for 24 years until the promise was fulfilled and Isaac, his son, was born. Genesis chapter 22. Then we get to what James is talking about here, because it's enough, right, that Abraham walked out of paganism and walked to Canaan in faith. It's enough that he believed God and it took 24 years and he had Isaac. But God says, no, it's not enough. I've got another thing we're going to go through, Abraham. And it is chapter 22, which is the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, which, interestingly enough, is what James references. So let's read that. Genesis 22, we start with verse 1. After these things, after Isaac was born, after he was living for a while, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Hineni, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, Abraham had a tremendous amount of faith all throughout, so many years waiting for Isaac. You and I, in our lives, we have a tremendous amount of faith. What's going to happen if God asks us? Imagine that. Imagine if God asks you to do something like this in your life. Would we continue to walk out that faith with works? Did Abraham do that? Well, what did he do? He got up with Isaac. He got all the provisions. And guess what? He started walking several days to go to the spot where he knew God wanted him to sacrifice his son. If that's not works exhibited by a faith, I don't know what is. He could have stopped and said, you know what? God, I don't understand this, so we're going to stop right here. We're going to have a little powwow. No, he didn't say that. He started walking. He started working it out. He started walking for several days. And we see he followed through with it. He was ready to follow through with it. Genesis 22, verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Hineni, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything for him, to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. How did God know? Was it because of Abraham's supreme lack, supreme faith in God? No, it was because Abraham reached up with his hand to finish and do what God had called him to do. It was obedience. It was works. And of course, I'm not suggesting that we do this because God forbid we would ever do this, but you get the point. Abraham was ready to follow through with his faith through action, through works. Now, let's go back to James because there's interest that we could stop right there and we could say, okay, this is great. But wait, there's more. There's another biblical character that James references. James 2:25. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. He just continues to hammer this point home. Now, it's interesting that James picks Rahab. How many biblical characters are there, right? When you think of biblical characters to talk about who to emulate, I can think of Abraham. Who's the next person you probably think of? Moses, David, I mean, certainly Yeshua. But probably somewhere down the line, do we think of Rahab? Why? Because Rahab is described as Rahab the prostitute, right? She's not someone we automatically say, oh yeah, that's a striking example. It's very interesting that James picks Rahab. Obviously, she wasn't living a godly life at one point. She lived a very ungodly life by her profession. But she turned to God. She changed. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. There's a lot of references, actually, to Rahab in the Bible. And we're going to go to a chapter in Hebrews that is considered the faith chapter. But I want us to see that it's not only the faith chapter, it's the faith and works working together chapter, if we think about it like this. Hebrews 11, and Rahab is mentioned in verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Not because she had a lot of faith in God. Because of her actions, of her works, based on what her faith was. She believed, certainly, she had faith in God. Why else would she do it? She actually marries into the line of David, we see later on. She actually marries into the line of Yeshua. She's pretty important. Into the community of Israel. But we see her works helping out the spies. Her faith was manifested in her works in that action. All of this shows Rahab's transformation. Now, if Rahab can transform like that, imagine what God can do to us. Imagine what God can do to someone out there that is living a completely ungodly life. How they can be changed, how they can be turned around. We look at transformation in the Bible with somebody like Rav Shaul, who is actively working against the Messianic community, the believers, the body of Messiah, and he was transformed and changed 180 degrees, and he became one of the most well-known ministers and did the most of pretty much anybody else in the scripture as far as bringing the word out to other people, both Jew and Gentile. So we see in Abraham, we see in Rahab, two characters, a transformation in both. Abraham from a pagan to a follower of God, displaying true faith but good works, and Rahab a prostitute to a follower of God, displaying true faith and good works. And I believe it's on purpose that James brings up both Abraham and Rahab. There should be a transformation in our lives when we walk out our faith with works. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's turn there. A Rav Shaul letter, but this is a great verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter where we've been. It doesn't matter if you are a prostitute. It doesn't matter if you are a pagan idol worshiper. God can transform, and God does transform through faith and through works working together. Point number three, our works should reflect our transformation. Our works should be evidence that we are transformed by God. Our works should show off our faith. Are your works, are my works showing off our faith today to the people out there that need to see it? We need to work on that. We all can work on that. So faith without works is dead. Faith without works is incomplete at best. Faith must be lived out in our works. Faith without godly works is a bad testimony, and it really is not doing us any good, and it is not doing other people any good. But faith that works itself out by godly works reflects a transformation in us. I want in my life to have a transformation reflected every single day. And I pray that each of you wants a transformation. You know, as during this time of Hanukkah, we're talking about lighting the Hanukkah. We're talking about letting our light shine. We're talking about Yeshua being the light of the world. Is Yeshua the light of the world in our lives? And are we reflecting that by loving others, by chesed, by loving kindness, by the things that we're doing? Are we showing people God within us? This is the time of the year, but it's every time, every part of the year that we should be reflecting that. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you because your word is very plain for us today. Your word shows us, Lord, and it is like that mirror, like James says. Boy, we put it up and we see how we fall short. I see how I fall short. Lord, I pray that we would continue to have godly conviction about knowing, Lord God, where we fall short, but also picking ourselves back up, continuing in our faith and working it out each and every day. It can be small things like a smile towards somebody that needs it. It could be providing food for people in need at this time. It can be calling somebody on the phone and encouraging them. Whatever it is, Lord, allow us to have opportunities to show off our faith, both within our community and to others out there. Lord, may our light shine brighter and brighter, the light of Yeshua in us, reflecting that transformation in our lives. I just pray, Lord God, for everyone here today, for everyone watching on the live stream, that you would help them through whatever obstacles they're going through right now. That you would help them to assess where they are, Lord God. And yes, we're not there. None of us are there yet. But Lord, I pray that you would help pick them back up today and allow them to start walking again and working out, even small ways today, working out our faith with godly works. Lord, continue to transform each and every one of us as only you can. We thank you, God. We praise you, and we ask you to just guide and direct us every single day as we walk things out, sometimes in a valley, sometimes on a mountaintop, but help us as we walk things out every day for you. In Yeshua's mighty name, we pray.